What's up, Fanatics? It's time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's the seniors back again. I'm Jared Stansbury, joined by my good friend Rob Gray. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Jared. I'm sad to report, of course, as everyone knows, that your worst-case scenario that you detailed or sketched out as a possibility the last podcast has come to pass. And now,
and it almost played out exactly like I said, too.
Almost, yeah, almost exactly. And it almost played out the other way.
I mean, a
missed field goal, that the head-scratching run to the outside toward the hash to make sure it was a hash mark angled kick from 32 yards. Just not meant to be. I mean, I think it's fair to say when you've lost a lot of games, when you find yourselves in a position to win it, it's almost as if you find ways to repeat what's happened before, even though that's not what you want. That clearly was a game that the Cyclones almost dominated. They dominated statistically. Unfortunately, they also dominated in penalties, and that's a big reason why, too. You can't point to just a missed field goal
right,
because of so many critical penalties in that game. But
I think it was 14 for 114 yards or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, 14 for 113.
And Toledo had 8, so the flags were flying. They were clearly calling a tight game, but you have to adjust to that.
I kind of feel like that was how it was through all of college football this weekend.
Mm.
Were a lot of games that had a lot of penalties in them.
Even the NFL, my Vikings, I was watching them against the Lions. I was just like, whoa, this is a continuation of Saturday night at Toledo.
I saw in the 4 or 5 games that I watched on Saturday, I bet I saw 15 illegal formation penalties called.
Point of emphasis.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
I guess
I wonder when the point of emphasis is decided upon, how it gets spread to everyone throughout the country. Because that's a lot of...
I feel like they have to have some kind of system where they contact them.
A special phone. It's a landline. It's
yeah.
a certain color.
Yeah. Maybe like a green. And they pick it up and they say,
we
have
yellow.
A new point.
Wait, how about yellow?
Yeah, there you go.
It should be yellow.
It's just like a flag.
Got the regular phone. Oh, the yellow phone's ringing. Uh-oh. It's lit up. All
the,
right, here
the
we
regular
go.
One is probably black and white stripes.
Yeah,
and then the other
there
one
you
is
go.
The yellow one.
And there's another general use one that's shaped like a pylon.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. But, yeah, unfortunately, the takeaway from that is Iowa State's 1-2, which doom and gloom when you consider since realignment they've never won more than 3 Big 12 games in a season. And obviously doing elementary math, if they were able to even do that, that would put them at 4-8. And I think obviously not where any fan wants him to be and not where any player wants to be, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll see. I still don't think, you know, with all the injuries that TCU sustained on its defense, they're not setting the world on fire the way that I thought they would. Baylor
right.
looks like they're back to being Baylor before a few years ago where you can score on them. Now the problem is can you stop them from scoring? But, I mean, I look at a lot of Big 12 teams this year as being from terrible in the starting with Kansas, I would say, to the very, very good. I don't see an elite team now after TCU, again, lost those guys on defense. But we'll see how it plays out. But
they've lost like 6 starters on defense.
Yeah,
now,
and I mean,
they?
Players of the year, I mean, just all these guys that, you know, you made them seem so formidable on paper and obviously based on what they were able to do, particularly regular season-wise last season. So we'll see. I think it's sort of a wide-open deal. But, I mean, again, when Iowa State finds ways to lose when they dominate – on the field against a team that was favored by a touchdown, you know, they've got to find a way to break it the other way. And that will happen against Kansas in 2 weeks. But from there, at Tech, I mean, it's going to be an interesting run because as I think they have the players and pieces to make almost all those games interesting, to be in a position with the few breaks they make. But, again, they've got to show us that they can turn those things the positive way.
I think the thing that's been most surprising to me is the offense, man.
Yeah.
We came on here in our first podcast before they'd even played a game yet, and we were hyping them up and talking about all the playmakers and stuff that they had. And I mean, Sam has been good at times. You know, they had the running game going a little bit in this game against Toledo, and you can see the playmaking ability from the receivers, but it's just not there. Like the edge that you thought they were going to have, the the ability to make big plays and stuff like that you thought they were going to be able to have consistently, it's just not there.
Yeah, same song, different verse, because I know it was hyped up last year, and I know people would accuse us in the media of sort of, it's not cheerleading, but promoting the hype. Let's face it, in the off season, you're relaying what you're being told.
Right.
I mean, and then there's commentary. Chris had some, and we've all had some, where it says, okay, but it's been a long time since this offense really produced on a consistent basis. But that is the biggest surprise. There's no question. I think equally surprising is how salted the defense mm-hmm. has been. Kareem Hunt got his yards, whatever, 130, a lot of it in one or two carries.
I was going to say, I think two of the carries accounted for almost 80.
But they bottled guys up, and they were get back to gang tackling at the point of attack there.
They outrushed Toledo.
Yeah. You know, it was the first time Iowa State has outrushed an opponent since the, I believe it was a double overtime win, the comeback at West Virginia to close 2013. Even the Texas Tech game where they went for 265 last year, Texas Tech went for 270 and change, I think.
Jeez.
So the first time in 15 games that they outrushed an opponent and still lost.
Mm-hmm.
Covered but lost. And obviously you needed to go 2-1 out of that. But, again, I think the players themselves are not that hung up on history or this and that. Or, hey, we're 1-2. So what if we're going in the Big 12? You know, they don't care that nobody's gone better than 3-6. And it was obviously 0-9 last year. Since realignment and under Rhodes, certainly. I mean, it's enough, though, to make old-timers like me, man, if those two divisions still existed, you had the cushion of maybe you could actually get lucky and schedule someone who's a patsy in your non-conference instead of at least a pretty good team.
Right.
And you and I went and beat another good team at their level. And you've got some wins there. But obviously that's not a reality, and it's not coming back anytime soon. But I still think this team finds a way to maybe knock on the door a little bit, to maybe at least shed that and make progress in terms of how they compete in the Big 12. A lot of it depends on health, and at least from today's teleconference, it sounds like a lot of guys like cornerback Sam Richardson, Kwon Floyd, Daniel Burton came through the game healthy. Some other guys are going to get back on the field, Gabe Luna, with the off week, and we'll see, you know, what type of vigor they show against the Kansas team that, man, they can't stop anybody at any level. So should be a good get-well week and then a get-well game and kind of pin back the ears and go from there.
How much of the struggles on the offense do you put on Sam?
It's so hard to say because a lot of the plays in which there's indecision, he doesn't have time. Mm-hmm. Now, yet there are a number of plays also where he had, in Toledo too, he had a fair amount of time and just couldn't find. Now, I've gone back to receivers I think need to get separation on a regular basis, and that's not happening. You know, you're getting your big plays. Montgomery, that was big for the offense for him to get one of those. I still sense it from Bundridge coming. You know, Lazard is Lazard. He's going to be making some clutch plays for you and gritting his teeth and moving on there. But, look, if the running game can do anything like that, if Daniel Burton can stay healthy – because he's their best lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question about that.
I don't think there's anyone questioning that at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of a head and shoulders. I mean, that he is truly a very good lineman versus a bunch of guys that are, you know, respectable and by and large, not every game. You figure Toledo did clamp down in Arkansas's run game, but Arkansas clearly is somewhat down as Texas Tech went in and won a pretty commanding win, and Cliff Kingsbury got to run out the kick your ass statement, which is always refreshing.
That was awesome. Brett Bielema was
involved. But, you know, again, though, they had that game. That's a microcosm of the offense. You have a game where, whoa, here's the explosion. And then, A, it doesn't translate to the scoreboard. B, the next game, they're back to gaining 84 yards on 32 carries and mm-hmm. having to throw the ball like crazy and getting sacked. So we'll see what it carries over to. But at least there were some glimmers there. And it was really nice to see Joel Lanning used a variety of ways as well.
Right.
It's a nice change up. And Sam ran the ball effectively at times, which I think he needed to do. They did so many things they needed to do to win that game and get on track. And sadly, it came down to the field goal there, but they also had a chance in overtime. They got the ball first, and they petered out and had to get the field goal, and then Toledo tied it, and then couldn't match a touchdown. That last play where Sam got sacked there, I know a lot of people are like, you have to just throw the ball up there and all that. And that's what I thought immediately at first glance when I watched it more. What a breakdown for the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think every guy that rushed was in the backfield immediately. And then he evades those guys. And two more just converging immediately on him. I mean, at that point, were receivers breaking off routes? I mean, the angle I had, or the scene I had, didn't show everybody out there towards the corners. I mean, yeah, I guess you kind of just throw it out there, but you know, it was just a disaster, and it looked like they showed some resilience, but just not enough. And here we are going into the Big 12, thinking if they want to get to a bowl game, they got to have a winning record in the Big 12, which they haven't come close to that before.
Do you think Joel Lanning's going to play more as the season goes on?
I think he'll continue at least in this role. I think there's a good chance. I mean, if you're the coaching staff, though.
How many snaps did he play? Do you know?
I didn't count it up. No, a large handful, or maybe, you know, you can fit it in two hands. But he definitely sparked them, and he's
right.
A good runner. In addition to that, that was kind of a neat play. I mean, it could have been a very bad play, but the pass to Sam and then back for the first down. It just boggles my mind how good they were on third downs in that game, too. And still, you know, the still is always the qualifier at the end. Still wasn't able to walk out of Toledo, weren't able to walk out of Toledo with the win. But there are a lot of positives. But ultimately what it comes down to is that scoreboard, and that's why people are gnashing their teeth rightly and, you know, calling this about coaches and this about, you know, that. Fans are grasping at straws and lashing out angrily because, you know, hey, three wins, two wins, now one win at this point, you're not seeing a lot of hope when it comes to that win-loss ledger.
I mean, this is something that's kind of unavoidable at this point, but what's he going to have to do, Paul Rhodes is going to have to be able to do during Big 12 play if he wants to be the coach of Iowa State in 2016. I mean, obviously he wants to be the coach, but if he is going to be the coach of Iowa State in 2016, they've got to make a statement in conference play.
Mm-hmm. I think they're capable of doing that, but they're going to have to do things that they haven't done in recent years, and that's outside of the field goal win at Iowa last season, the close games go the other way. And when it comes time to make the play, somebody's not making it,
mm-hmm.
and the other team, they're making it, whether it be a long pass before halftime, whether it be the long pass that sets up the win at the end of a game. I mean, that's been the kind of the trend pretty much uninterrupted for two-plus seasons now. But I still like this team in terms of the talent that
right.
I see, particularly up front on defense. The linebackers, I mean, continue to fly around. Jordan Harris is a legit good Big 12 player. Next year, I think, can take another step. The secondary, solid. I mean, Ely hit, what was it, 11 to 28?
Yes.
He could not get it going. I mean, granted, they dropped a number of passes. I mean, the one they had in the first overtime when they were down a field goal, I can't remember which player it was, but right in his hands.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, they dropped him, and his numbers were bad. And so I think the defense is – I think far better than people could have hoped.
Mm-hmm.
I think, not hoped, but far better than could have been realistically expected. And the offense, if it can fire consistently, and I think it will in some games, I think there's going to be one or two of those upsets in there. You just need to avoid the head scratchers, and then maybe you can get to knocking on the door there. Heck, if you win four games in the Big 12, you've done something you haven't done under Rhodes, and I think that's very much in play.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can manage to do that with an upset or two early, then the team's whole level of the view of the season, what they can and cannot do, is going to change, especially on the subconscious level, because I think that's where losing affects you. I don't think guys don't say, oh, I'm going to consciously make a bad play here when it's on the line. But subconsciously, you know you've been in those situations, and what has happened in those situations in the recent past, and it's not gone your way.
Right.
And that type of thought in the back of the head can lead to, you know, recurrences. But I think they've got a chance to make a little bit of hay, but I think they do need to at least win four Big 12 games, and that's been a tall order, obviously not one that's been achieved.
And, I mean, it's all going to start next week when they play Kansas. If you lose that one, you know, it's pretty much
then
over
then point. Anything could happen because yeah.
That opens the door for pretty much anything.
Yeah. So I firmly said that Paul Rhodes would have the year because, A, it doesn't make much – it's not going to help that year's it's not going to augment the results. You're not going to have a better result if you decide just, oh, he's gone here at, September 27th or October 3rd or whatever it is. And I still stand by that. But if that happens against that very that's going to be an historically bad Kansas football team, or it already is.
Could we go as far as to put that into the must win category?
Gosh, at this point, everything is.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, and yes, not only must win, but you must roll over them. You must rampage on both sides of the ball,
especially on your home field.
Yeah, and you're probably still gonna. That's the game where push comes to shove for butts in the seats.
Right.
I think people will still be showing up. They'll have the week off. They want to get out there. They want, okay, Big 12 is starting.
They'll still be it's nice a chance. Outside.
It's a team you should beat. Fans want to feel good. They're not experiencing a whole lot of wins, obviously, in recent years. So I think it'll still be a nice crowd. But if you stumble in that game, or even if it's a tight game and you say, my gosh, South Dakota State more or less dominated Kansas in their opener in Lawrence, and yet you can't dominate them needing to do what you need to do, I think that, would at least send some people into no-show mode, and you can't blame them. But I still think I think the team's going to win convincingly against Kansas. From there, who knows? Because you can make mistakes against Kansas and still win convincingly. You can make mistakes like that many penalties. Maybe not. Well, yes, you can make mistakes like that many penalties. A missed field goal at a certain time, you wouldn't even be in that situation because you're up by enough. But along the way, you can't make mistakes like you made against Toledo and win football games against pretty much everyone else on the schedule.
The other big news last week for Iowa State, they got a new basketball player commit.
They did.
And Emmanuel Malou, a junior college player out of California, he's pretty dang good. I don't know if you've watched his film, but...
Yeah. What a journey for that guy, too. He was with that failed kind of...
ABCD racket, prep.
Kind of deal in Des Moines where that guy, what did he end up on the run or whatever it was? And a lot of kids damaged by that situation, but... Good to see him catch on. Yeah.
Sounds like a Rob Gray future or a feature.
I'll be looking forward
just
to
just in the coming down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd like to touch base with him. Obviously Chris was able to touch base with him and get the scoop on that before it all broke. I know a lot of it was pretty evident that it looked like he was going to stay pretty loyal to Iowa State, who was in early, and he picked up a bunch of big-time offers after that. But that's huge because you don't have to stay loyal. You can say it's huge in terms of the confidence going forward after this season, which everyone expects to be bare minimum a Sweet 16 season, and obviously one would think an Elite Eight, potential Final Four, and who knows type of season with the roster that remains post Fred Hoiberg and in the first year of Steve Prohm. But it says a lot that he decided to stick with Iowa State, and he sees the future as something that not a lot, a lot of fans, you have that many scholarships out there, and now it's down to three, right? But you had Simeon Carter.
That seemed so daunting.
Donovan Jackson, and it did, and it looked like that no doubt is going to be a rebuilding season. And I think compared to if this season plays out like it's expected to play out via preseason predictions, via who you've got on the roster, et cetera, barring the types of upsets like UAB, and every team's experienced those, without a repeat of that, you're going to have a heck of a good season, but it would be, oh, now what? Okay, we're going to have to struggle, maybe make the NIT, but then next season they'll all have that experience and be back up there knocking on the door. But I think based on the level of talent they've got there, we have yet to see Deontay Burton play and Hallis Cook and some of those guys, but certainly the future looks bright for them. Could end up being a good team. There could not, there might not be that much of a drop off. I mean, obviously they got to fill out the rest of the spots, but right. they got a lot of flexibility now based on the, particularly the profile of the guys that they have. You know, a couple of very athletic, bigger guys and a point guard mm-hmm. as well. So, a lot of different routes they can go there, and they're more or less halfway there, which I think is a lot farther than a lot of people thought they'd be.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, when you've got six scholarships to fill. That just seems like
yeah.
that seems like such a high number. I mean, that's almost half your team, mm-hmm. and it seemed like how are they going to be able to get this done? How are they going to be able to fill this out with good quality guys? And the way they've gotten started, it just makes you optimistic the way they're going to be able to fill it out. Especially, yeah, like you said, if they have a good season, what you know, you never know what kind of interest that could drum up, especially in the transfer market and stuff like that. Especially when I'm sure. Kids that are transferring around will know that they're going to have openings and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you'd want at least a couple of those last three to be high school guys, yeah, I definitely. Would think.
Yeah.
And that, again, harkens back to this season. I mean, yeah, there are guys with pretty good ideas and committed, but if Iowa State has the type of season that, again, many expect from inside and outside the program, from a local to a national base, that's only going to enhance you know, the opportunities to get some of those guys excited about, you know, taking a closer look at Iowa State. So, shaping up very, very well there. I think, yeah, as we said, better than I think most people would have expected at this point.
I got my bike fixed.
Excellent.
I was going to tell you that, yeah.
What happened? You had a flat tire, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing you dropped out when you did.
Right. I the tube was done. So I went and got a new tube, and I'm back speeding around.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll have to do another one. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I did not ride my bike to Ankeny today.
I like your idea, though, about a camping trip. That'd
yes,
be pretty cool.
I was going to bring that up, too. That would be pretty fun.
Yeah. Could tell some stories around the campfire.
Right.
You guys could enjoy a little bush light.
Yeah, always.
I don't know about s'mores.
I like s'mores.
Something like that.
Do you not like s'mores?
Oh, they're all right.
They're all right? Right.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm not a sweet tooth kind of guy. I'd probably rather put on a good smoked sausage or something. You know, we'll put one of those on the end of a stick or a skewer out there.
Chris and I will be eating s'mores while you're eating your smoked sausage.
Or a hot dog or something like that. Cue the jokes. But I mean, you know, that's all right.
Oh my goodness. What would we sleep in a tent? What would we?
Oh, of course, of course. Man. It's not really camping unless you do it in a tent.
And the thing is that
couple tents, obviously.
That Kansas game just seems like it has 11 a.m. kickoff, screaming all
and
over
it does.
It too.
Yeah, and it is. It's 11 a.m. kick, so probably not the best time to do it.
Yeah.
But hey, there's always winter camping. I don't have a four season tent, but you know, there's you know, could probably rent one or something.
Yeah, I don't know about camping when it's 30 degrees or lower.
Freezing.
Yeah.
It's a little rough. I did it
That's
once.
That's maybe a little extreme for me.
I did it once, and it was not a whole lot of fun.
Have you ever been ice fishing? That's something that I want to
do. You know, I haven't, but I do want to do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks, you know, I wouldn't know how to set it. You know, obviously you need to test, make sure it's mm-hmm. strong enough. Get one of those augers out there or whatever. Drill your holes and...
Anyone that is looking to take Rob and I ice fishing, we're all in.
Be happy to learn. Somebody's an outfitter, you know. We'll pay the going rate and cast our lines in there. That'd be a lot of fun. See, now we're talking about fun stuff.
Yeah.
We're probably gonna have to circle back to football. What's funny is there is a lot of fun in football. There was a lot of fun in that game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's just the push can't come to shove moments that. It turned out to be disastrous.
Right.
But you're still, I mean, I don't think anybody could argue with the fact that watching the team play is a lot more of an enjoyable experience. As I put on my fan glasses or whatever, vision, HD vision. Have you seen those stupid ads?
No.
Okay. We'll go there some other day. I just love how people, we see in high definition real life. It's better than any freaking thing that's on a screen. They sell these HD vids. Wow, this really is like HD, the guys say. Good Lord. You chump that buys those. I hope they're not, they're never going to be a sponsor, I don't think. But that was an aside. But I'm looking at it, the team, in terms of competitiveness, in terms of what they, you know, the athleticism, I think there's no question it's a much better product. You just, again, 1-2 looks very dire at this point. But
I tweeted the other night that it was like the most frustrating double overtime game I'd ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
Like you just wanted one of the teams to do something to set them apart from the other one.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like one team would make a mistake and then the other one would raise them with a mistake that was just as detrimental.
Yeah. And I ran into more than one person who said that somehow the Nut Cup talks have to be revised. You know, that needs to be, or revived.
Well, I think,
because that was one of those games where
I think Chris said that there's no Nut Cup needed when you're a 7-point underdog to a MAC team.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you've kind of set the stage. You could do a preemptive strike or something.
Speaking of lines, I am like, I am setting a record for futility in this staff picks. Man.
I'm tremendously terrible as well.
I'm in last place. I've been
horrible. If you are, I'm like one game ahead.
I'm pretty sure we're all like one or two games apart from each other. But
it's been a rough few weeks, to be fair. I mean, it's been tough to forecast some of these games, and then it's like a team on the field when you've gotten in that losing trend. The one you say, okay, I think they could win by 10 when they're 7.5. They win by 7.
Yeah.
And you miss it.
Yeah, so, I picked Alabama by 21 the other day.
Yeah, I thought Alabama would take it to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for college football, though, when they get knocked off, and then the rest of the year it's going to be like, is Alabama going to be the one-win team that makes the playoff? If anybody would, it would be them.
Yeah.
But Ole Miss looked legit. That was a heck of a performance.
You know who looked legit was Leonard Fournette down at LSU.
Yeah. I foolishly went against – see, I thought I did the Costanza method. I said LSU, I truly believe, is a playoff contender this year. But Auburn was so terrible the week before, and they've got players that get a running back.
Turns out they might just really actually be terrible.
Yeah, they might be a 7-win team or something. Mm-hmm. And my God, did they lay an egg. They were down so
well.
Fournette running on them looked like they were facing Iowa State's rush defense of last season.
He made them look like high school kids. I mean, younger than high school kids. There was the one run where he broke a tackle and the guy jumped over him. Like, how does that even happen? It's like, I mean, for one thing, Leonard Fournette is just a huge human being.
Yes.
He's like 6'2".
Yep.
And for anyone to think that diving at his shoulder pads is a good idea,
yeah,
probably is not the smartest football player in the world.
No. And I mean, Auburn, what, down 24-0 at half, and it could have been worse. I mean, that was an atrocious performance.
Well,
he ran
for like 210 yards.
And he could have run for 300 plus
in the first
easily.
Half in 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, I mean, he was unstoppable. And Auburn, he had some nice quotes after the game, too, I saw. Everyone's going to be, okay, yeah, the team. But the way that he expressed how little of his stats mattered to him was kind of a refreshing way to do it.
It was a great play. By me, yeah. Type of thing.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that at times either. I'm not gonna kill anybody for saying that in the moment. It's nice to see guys kind of. You're expressing something. There's only a few options for what you can say after having a big day. And he went to one of the go-to ones, but he also enhanced it with some. He personalized it, so I like that.
I'd have to say that he is quite clearly the Heisman front runner. Through 3 weeks, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can't even think of anyone else that stood out enough to...
I can't either. Ohio State's been blasé. I mean,
yeah. Derrick Henry until last week.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of numbers he put up on Saturday, but...
Yeah, and it doesn't matter when... I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously he can have some big games going forward, but, you know, there will be some guys that pop in out of nowhere. Chris Mangum isn't going to... throw Hail Mary touchdowns
Tanner
every Mangum. Week. Tanner, Tanner Mangum isn't going to throw touchdowns. Hail Marys all the time. Did UCLA get them? I forgot to.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
So.
Well, I think they had a chance to drive down the field again, and he threw.
They did.
Threw
yep.
an interception
That's right.
or something.
Yep. Charmed life came to an end, at least for that game. But a lot of fun games. Just getting increasingly harder to peg how
right.
it's going to be, and I think part of that is parity. On a week-to-week basis, yeah, you're going to discover who's really bad, and that'll be consistent, and who's really good or elite is going to be really consistent, but everyone else in between, and I'd put Iowa State in the in-between category, you're going to, again, be wowed by something they do one week, whether it results in a win or a loss, and then you're just going to scratch your head or stomp your feet by the maybe the very next week.
One thing that had
matchups and so many other things.
One thing that had me scratching my head this week was, where was Dale Pearson?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that they put a little more attention to him, considering what he did in the first two games. But I don't hardly even remember hearing his name called.
Yeah,
I mean that might not be as much to him as much as those announcers not saying anyone's name, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's bound to happen, too, at the same time. I mean, clearly they were either putting some pressure on, you know, it maybe didn't result in the play being made with Ely completing it at such a low rate. But, yeah, he was not keeping up his 2 point, you know, his sack per game average took a big hit. I'm sure he's no longer leading the nation. But, yeah, the way he was playing the first 2 weeks, you expected to see impact plays from him in that game. But, I'm sure, as you said, some extra attention, and we'll see what happens against KU, but I still think he's going to consistently show up.
I just hope that they get better announcers for their games the rest of the year.
See, now, I was at my wife's high school reunion,
I
could only watch
the
game, and they had put the Hawks. They had started to put them Hawks on everywhere, and I got them to change it over to Iowa State on on one of the corner smaller TVs. At the Corning Winery. Did you know they had a winery in Corning?
I did not.
Very pleasant place. I didn't drink wine. You'd be surprised because I'm, you know, kind of, I try to be this urbane dude. I just drank good beer.
So Busch Light.
We'll go ahead and say I drank Busch Light, yeah. But, I mean, watching that game without hearing it, you know, but I saw the tweets because I was tweeting.
Yeah.
And I noticed that there were a number of flubs.
Trevor Ryan ran track, in case you were wondering.
Nevada? Wasn't there Nevada?
Yeah, I'm sure there probably was.
You know, Paul Rhodes, where he was born. And
the one that stuck out to me was
Ankeny, I think.
Every time that Trevor Ryan got the ball, the former track star.
Did they at least mention he was at UNI, or did they say he was? Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe they would have then erred and said he used to run track at Iowa State. You know, or something with that.
No, they are.
The other stuff.
They were just all on like one time he got the ball and they're like, oh, the former track star Trevor Ryan. Every single time he touched the football.
They had selectively memorized certain game notes.
Right.
That's
what I was thinking.
Be deployed. It was like hitting a button. It was like hitting something on Ted Flint's bingo card. Boom, there it is. Track star.
That needs to be added to the bingo card.
It would not be a bad idea. And congrats to him on growing his bingo, I don't know, empire.
What does that mean?
Didn't he like put somewhere where you can follow along, like on a website or something?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay, well, we'll have to look into it more. Maybe when we get him on the show,
Ted, you need to tweet at me.
He can correct me
and let me know what happened, because I know he'll listen, so he'll let me know what the lowdown is.
Absolutely. So going forward, we don't have an off week. We'll be there for coverage. I don't know who we'll get. I think they usually do it once in an off week. We don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
Could be tomorrow. Could be Wednesday. And we'll have stories
and
video from
that.
Just, missed an email. but still plenty of coverage. I know more basketball talk will be out there. Chris is working on some bigger projects. Obviously, I've got some things down the line basketball-wise. But we'll be busy in this off week while Iowa State's healing up and getting ready to pummel KU. We'll be busy at work.
We're always busy at work. Well, you guys are. I'm not very busy this week.
Well, you've got tons of classes on top
of it. I don't have much to do
this
week.
That's what's really impressive.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. That's not that demanding, though.
No. It should be.
I'm a senior now. I'm just going with the flow, man.
What do I need to do? What's bare minimum? Put my hands behind my head and how do I sail through this? And soon I'm walking across the stage and starting my dream job, you know?
Yeah, hopefully.
It's got to be the plan, right? It's got to be the plan.
My dream job is hosting the seniors with you.
I love it. I hope it's not a 1 year. At least maybe we could do a few
next
year after you're off working at Sports Illustrated or something like that.
I was going to say, don't say something and get some rumors started that I'm going to work somewhere else.
Well, maybe you'll stay here.
Well,
and this empire will expand.
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Absolutely.
Is that all? You good?
I think that's all for this week. We kind of went all over the place. It's our renegade style scattershot.
Bi-week edition.
Yeah, bi-week edition. And we'll obviously have plenty to talk about as we head into KU week. But again, I can't imagine a scenario in which they don't get reasonably on track mm-hmm. there. And then you can start to wonder a little bit.
Check back to CycloneFanatic.com throughout the rest of the week. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Have a great rest of the week, everybody.